Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Lots of you texting to 51551 about the death of Aisling Murphy and your thoughts and fears around all of that. Helen in Limerick has texted to say, a primary school teacher here. I arrived home this afternoon. I would have loved to walk. I normally go on my own, but not today. A man wouldn't have that fear, says Helen. Another person texts to say, I've been chased through woods at night by men. I've been robbed in broad daylight and assaulted at night. I've been groped. I've called out the lads for sending lewd and sexist messages, and I've been told to lighten up. I'm a man. It happens to some of us too, but it is much, much worse for women. That comes from Simon, and thank you, Simon, for the text. And Mark has also texted the programme to say, when Veronica Guerin was murdered, the cab was set up and assets were seized. Let Aisling's murder prove a similar watershed in violence against women. And we're going to be hearing more from the vigils being held in memory of Aisling Murphy in Tullamore, in County Offaly, and in Dublin City Centre before the end of the programme. Do stay tuned for that. Now, my next guest has just completed a study on the amount of abuse that politicians receive online. The analysis found that female councillors got 8 times more abuse than their male counterparts, and female senators are sent 3 times as many abusive tweets as men. At national level, male and female TDs receive equal amounts of toxic commentary, while the most prolific abusive accounts were affiliated with Sinn Féin, Fine Gael and Independents. Well, to tell us more about this report, we're joined now by the author, data scientist, Dr. Ian Richardson, and you're welcome to the programme, Ian, this evening. Can you tell us, I suppose, firstly, why did you do the study and how did you extract the data?
Good evening. So the inspiration for doing the study was from me reading so many articles about personal accounts of female politicians and politicians about the abuse they receive online. I was also inspired by studies that were done in 2020 that looked at kind of the dynamics of toxicity towards politicians in the UK and the States. And following those studies, I followed a similar framework to them to actually look at the toxicity and is there a disparity between genders or even the level of government directed towards politicians in Ireland. I collected the data between September 2020 and September 2021. I did queries to Twitter's database looking for any tweet that had a politician's Twitter handle in it. And over that period, I collected nearly 4 million tweets that were directed at politicians. And to determine whether or not a tweet was likely to be toxic, I used an artificial intelligence, which was co-developed with Google and Jigsaw, which could give a kind of a probability score on how likely that text would be toxic.
Okay. So the period that you were looking at then, September 2022, September 2021, obviously a time of a lot of tension and anger and fear and anxiety in Ireland with all the lockdowns and also a number of political controversies. Did that play a part, those sort of big events throughout that period?
Definitely. So I managed to capture the last 3 months of 2020, where there were a lot of kind of political controversies and issues of high salience. And that could be seen in the amount of incivility that was directed towards politicians, particularly around events such as the Mother and Babies Home legislation, the leaking of documents by Antonis Shalihoubracar, and even his apology in the Dáil was an event where there was a high level of toxicity. In fact, around the Mother and Babies Home legislation, that was the actual peak over that time period for the amount of toxic tweets directed at politicians. And it actually lasted for a 3-day period around that debate. Following the kind of January-February lockdown and the COVID-19 restrictions, you could start to see a gradual decline in the amount of toxic tweets that were being directed at politicians. And that kind of reached kind of a steady state from March onwards through the rest of the year. So particularly the restrictions and those issues kind of that were of high salience, they really were a driver of the amount of toxicity that politicians were receiving around that time.
One of the interesting findings, although I don't think it'll maybe surprise that many people, was the amount of abuse that female local councillors are getting online when compared to their male counterparts.
Yeah, so if you account for the number of followers that politicians have. You can get a truer sense of kind of the relative amount of abuse that each gender receives. And what was found was that when accounting for the number of followers, female local councillors received about 8 times as many abusive tweets or toxic tweets per follower compared to their male counterparts. For senators, that was 3 times for female senators, 3 times the amount of abuse per follower compared to their male counterparts. But there was no difference between TDs, female and male TDs, for the amount of abuse they received. Mm. That could be driven by the lack of diversity in cabinet, because cabinet members received the kind of most abuse in the Dáil. If you're in cabinet, you're significantly more likely to receive toxic tweets than the non-cabinet members, even those who were in government but were backbenchers.
I don't know, did you or were you able to do any analysis of the level of toxicity, you know, or the type of sort of toxic tweets? You know, I mean, you can go from insulting to threatening to sexually abusive. You know, were you able to do any analysis of that?
So the artificial intelligence model allowed for other types of kind of context to be given. So toxicity is just one of the models that was allowed, but there is other ones that will be kind of sexually implicit, flirtatious, severe, toxic, and identity attack. Identity attack will be a coding for racist or homophobic attacks, but I've yet to kind of analyse that part of the data set.
Okay. And then another really interesting aspect of this was who was doing the tweeting and whether or not it was anonymous accounts or bot accounts. We hear a lot about whether or not bot accounts are sort of mobilised when big political events happen. What did you find about that?
So in terms of the bot accounts, so we kind of define bot accounts as ones that aren't being operated by a human. There are virtually no bot accounts detected that were tweeting toxic tweets towards politicians. There are nearly 20,000 accounts detected that tweeted at least one toxic tweet towards politicians. And using another open source model, only 16 of those 20,000 were determined to be bot accounts. What we then wanted to look at was there a concentration of the number of toxic tweets to particular accounts? And out of those 20,000 or so accounts, 2,500 of them accounted for 50% of all of the toxic tweets directed at politicians. Okay. And of the most prolific accounts, so any accounts that directed 5 or more toxic tweets towards politicians over that time period, I was able to look at whether or not they had either had a shared community across them, or if they had certain political affiliations. So to determine if they had political affiliations, I looked at the accounts each of those accounts followed. If they followed politicians, if more than 50% of those politicians were from one party, I considered that account to be kind of a partisan for that party.
And what did you find then in relation to that? Were there any particular political groupings or supporters of political parties that were more engaged in this activity?
Yeah, so when we do kind of some other type of clustering analysis of those accounts, we find that there's three big kind of communities of those toxic accounts. And they could be kind of loosely defined as the largest one being Sinn Féin leaning, the next biggest one being Fine Gael leaning, and the third biggest one being non-party or independent leaning.
And was there much difference when you say the biggest, the second biggest, and the third biggest? Was there much of a difference in the numbers between those three?
Yeah, so there was about 600 accounts from the Sinn Féin cluster, and about nearly 400 for the Fine Gael ones. But interestingly, all three accounts directed the largest amount of their toxic tweets towards Fine Gael politicians.
Oh, really?
Yes. That could be
even the Fine Gael accounts?
Even the Fine Gael one, yeah. Although their second highest party members to direct abuse at was Sinn Féin.
Okay. You know, what's really interesting about all of this, although lots of really good insights here from this research, Ian, but that figure that you have, that the most prolific toxic accounts were only from 2,000 of those accounts that you looked at, that 50% of all of the toxicity came from just those 2,000 accounts. You would think it could be or should be very easy in that instance for social media companies to do something about it. It's a small number of people engaging in a lot of abuse.
Yeah, if they have the resources, or if they're putting the resources into actually looking at this detail, it's relatively easy to figure that out.
Okay, so I mean, how in your experience then, how good were the social media companies in actually doing that? You were able to figure it out on your own, effectively. Therefore, you would imagine they would be able to figure out if they were so minded.
One could suggest that, but I don't know the inner workings of how these companies operate to be able to determine how they should be sending their resources, or how they use them, or are there internal structures where they don't want to try and tackle these things, or are there so many of these accounts being directed at so many different groups? I'm only really looking specifically at politicians, but we could be looking at journalists, or we could be looking at women in general online. Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through it. That is Dr. Ian Richardson, who is a data scientist. We'll take a break.